I promise you, it was, I think that was the single most worst day of my life. I had this huge trailer behind me, and it was swinging all over the show, and the lights didn't work, so everyone was blowing hooters at me. And if you know anything about me and hooters, and it's something they do in Cape Town a lot, is blow hooters. And I want to get out of the car and take the hooter and help them experience their own hooter. Is Leon and, are they out? Leon and Jackie. Okay. Tim and Mo, can you just stand up for me, please? Oh, sorry. You're staying anyway, I've got Mo right. Too many names in too short time. And I want you guys to stand as well, please. I really just felt while I was away, I was praying for you guys. I do that on a regular basis, believe it or not. I really saw something of God's purpose for your life. And I really believe God is going to use you in the thing of breaking open the word for people, in the thing of teaching people on how to live the word out. People have such wrong ideas of the word these days, and we need people to break it open. And you're going to be with them, because I really see you guys as a strong couple. I never ever separate you guys, except when I call you Tim. Okay, thanks, guys. You too. I had this picture this morning as I was here during worship. I just had this picture of of being in God's hands. And as you were ready, he just took you and went, phew. Fly. You guys are going to fly for the Lord. You guys are going to fly. Thanks. Oh, 2 weeks worth of emotions, that's why. This morning, I want to put some vision in front of us for the new year. This is the last time I'm preaching this year. And so what I like to do is to put some vision in front of you so that by the time we come to next year, you've actually had a chance to chew on it, to think about it, decide where you're going to fit into this thing, and then you have the opportunity actually to respond out of that. Because I don't like to lead from the place where I just say, you will do. I don't do that. You guys know that have been in my leadership team. But this year coming, I need to tell you guys, I'm going to lead a whole lot stronger than I have led in the year that has gone. The year that has gone has been a year where I've had to get to know you guys, build relationally with you guys, because you didn't know me. But now we're going to go. Now we're going to go. And it's exciting. It's not bad. It's not ugly. It's, yes, we're going to go. It's not like, whoa, no. Now we're going to go. We're going to see what God is going to do. So why do I exist? If I asked you this morning, what would your answer be? Think about it. Write it down. Go home. Why do I exist? What is my choice? How do you make decisions? Do you make them according to conviction or convenience? Wake up. I'm only using Sunday morning because it's the easiest thing to put out there. I'm all for you guys taking time off every now and again on a weekend, or if you can't make it because you're working, or whatever the case may be. But when you wake up in the morning, it's not like, oh, I have to go to church this morning. Listen, there have been those times in my life. I've had those times. You all know the joke about the mother shaking the guy and saying, "You need to go." "No, I don't want to go." "You need to go." "Why do I need to go?" "Because you're the pastor." Guys, we can make decisions based on comfort. It's like a comfortable to make this decision. Or no, you know what? It's actually uncomfortable. You know what? When we go visiting other churches, I'll get really angry with my guys if they do this. If they take the host's bed when they offer it. No. You take the floor with the mattress. Because when we leave, those people say, "Whoa." Those people are prepared to be inconvenienced. We need to be those people. We need to be those that we don't live with our preference overriding every other preference. It's got a bit easier for me because I lead the church now. But there was many years that I didn't lead the church. Many years. We've been in full-time ministry for 25 years. And before that, we were on eldership in other churches as well. And we realized our purpose is to serve God regardless of what happens. Regardless of what happens. So as you're thinking, now I want you guys to be thinking over this period of time. As you're thinking, what can I do? How can I do it this year? How can I go see Siki in Lusaka? How am I going to go there and see her? It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be inconvenient. But I'm going to go. Because I believe God has called me to go. There's a story. There's a thing about sin is missing the mark. So if I put a target up and I shoot and I slightly miss the bullseye, I've sinned. Because you see, God wants you to hit bullseye every time. And so you know what most of us do to try and make sure that we hit bullseye? We don't use a bow and arrow, we bring out a shotgun. Boof. That's not what God wants. It's not what God wants. Do you believe, you're sitting here this morning, you're thinking, what's this icon about? Do you believe that you have been born for such a time as this? Do you believe it? Or are you just, yeah, because this is what everyone else does. They come to church on a Sunday. Well, not everybody. People go to church on a Sunday. Let me tell you, it's not about that. You've been born for such a time. You're sitting here this morning. God speaks to you. He says, "I'm going to throw you up like that." You're expectant. "Yes, Lord, I want that. I want to move into everything that you have for me." And I can feel stuff for other people, but I just don't feel it for now. But you can feel it for yourself. It's not up to me, it's up to you. The only safe place in South Africa for you is in the will of God. Outside of the will of God, even in America, is not safe for you. You better be in the will of God and know that you're in the will of God. One of the first preachers I'll preach in the New Year's is on the will of God. How do I know that I'm in the will of God? It's not rocket science, I can promise you. We need to be resilient You know what that word means, resilient? It means to bounce back. So you take your original shape. So when you have your chest chopped open, you bounce back and carry on doing what you're supposed to be doing. What did you tell them last week about our story? You told them everything, 45 minutes. That's thank goodness. 15 minutes of story. So tell me, what three stories did you tell? The dogs, the bees, an aeroplane. I'm trying to pull out some pieces. Guys, we came down to Cape Town, and we were actually in a good place. We were in a healthy place. My health was good. We'd been through a few things. We did. When we came to Cape Town, we were fine. She's getting really, that's my story. But when we came down, I was doing fine. And we were here for a little while, and then I had this heart operation. Who knows that I've had a triple bypass? Who thinks it's like, it's nothing? Let me tell you, when you have a triple bypass, I'll get Corlea to tell you the story one day. Maybe we can show videos and all sorts of things. But it's like you're on the thing, and they take out a jigsaw, and they go, and they go, they pull it open. And then, because my vein at the bottom was a problem, they had to pick it up. I want to tell you, when you come out of that thing, you're in such pain, you don't know where you're coming or going. But it's a choice. My choice was, should I go back to Johannesburg and go and become a grandfather? Because I had that option. My son had a grandpa flat at the back. And go and stay there, and they'll take care of me. But you know what? God said, no. Not time for that. And so I had to bounce back from that. We all know the story of Esther. Esther 4 and verse 14. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this? Who knows the story of Esther? All of you. Esther saved Israel at the expense of maybe losing her own life. She didn't know. Esther had no idea what the end result would be, but she saw the privilege of doing what God had called her to before she saw the cost of what He called her to do. So often while we're waiting for God to work for us, how many of us are always like, come on, God, you can do this, God. Why not God? You know what? God is waiting to work in you and through you. In you and through you. One of my prayers that I pray on a regular basis, Lord, work in me and work through me. When I was laying on a bed with, I suffer from bipolar. When I was laying on the bed, I would say to the Lord, Lord, I don't want this time to be wasted. I want to learn something so that I'm able to help others. So work in me so that you can work through me. Guys, you know what? If you go through pain, And many people have been through pain. If you go through pain and you're not able to convert that pain into helping others, you've wasted it. You've wasted it. First Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. We all think that's making food and stuff like that. No. No. God has put something inside of you to make a difference in other people's lives. Now, this is what we're looking forward to the new year. If this didn't happen this year, we're going to change it and we're going to start to look and see it happen in the new year. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. This week I just heard of a friend of mine that's going through a really difficult time. And I'm really sad because of that, because he's a really wonderful man. I remember when we planted the church in Nelspruit, hey, we had a real dingy place that we had to move into that was what we could afford. That guy drove with all his tools and everything from Pennington on the south coast. He drove up and he came and he fixed every single thing that he could fix for us. Another friend and his wife, not even the swimming pool that the owners own, so we could use it, they came, they emptied the pool. They didn't have water restrictions, by the way. They emptied the pool. They scrubbed it. They made it clean. They filled the pool up so that we had a swimming pool to swim in. Those things, God doesn't forget. He does not forget. Okay, three reasons why we exist. The first one is, love the Lord your God. Matthew 22 and verse 37. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. What does this look like? What does it look like to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul? What does it look like? Have you thought about these things? One sentence, it's hectic. The first thing is lay down your life and die. On the edge there, dying to live. If you haven't read it, dying to live. Lay down your life and die. In August 2013, we had just come down to the conference, and as we walked into the conference, Andrew Selly was standing at the entrance to the hall, and he actually came down. He was up on the stage, and he came down. There was about 5,000 people there. He came down off there, and he came to us, and he said to Patty and I, God's got a plan for you. Well, you need to know, when you tell my wife that, you better give her the answer at the same time. Otherwise, she's going to follow you around. She's going to hound you. She's going to just give you a hard time because she wants to know. So if I want to do something, I don't tell her until we're doing it. But anyway, he says, God's got a plan for you. So Patty's got him by the ear, like almost. What's the plan? I believe God wants you to come to Cape Town. Guys, you need to know, you live in Cape Town. You think Cape Town's beautiful. Cape Town's not beautiful when your grandchildren are on that side. It's very unbeautiful. We're just told friends of us 2 weeks before that there's no ways we'll ever move to Cape Town. We told them, we will not come. I came down here to do a wedding. All it did, it was in the middle of winter and it was raining. I was like, yeah. The wind just blows. The bicycles stand out like this at the August. Who wants to come to this place? You know who wants to come? When God tells you to come. Keep your ears open. If God tells you to go in the opposite direction, then it's going to be a problem for us right now, because then I'm becoming a grandparent. We came down on our own in August 2013. Now I'm going to cry. All three of my sons now live in Cape Town. All my grandchildren live in Cape Town. Seven of them. We've got a tribe. And you know what? It's so much easier to just have them all together in one place instead of flying over there and driving over there. No, God's brought them. Amen. Ah, Cape Town's fantastic now. Pick up your cross. You are preach the power, eh? Power. Do you know what power stands for? Just in case you've never heard this preach. P is the presence of the Holy Spirit. O is obedience to the Word of God. W is with authority. No, not. What's W? Forgot W. A is the authority of Jesus Christ. Hey, I haven't preached that in a long time, eh? Word of God, you're right. I should have thought of that. Well done. Thanks, Shirley. But that's what brings power in your life. So B, pick up your cross. Mark 8 and verse 34, if anyone intends to come after me, let him deny himself, forget, ignore, disown, and lose sight of himself and his own interests. That's what it means to deny. And take up his cross, and joining me as a disciple, follow me continually, cleaving steadfastly to me. If you've got a Amplified Bible, you can go and read that. Pick up your cross. Guys, have you thought about picking up a cross? For us, it's like this dream. When he picked up that thing, first of all, it was too heavy for him even to pick up on his own. When that thing hit his back, he had splinters and all sorts of things digging into his flesh as he picked it up. And he tried to drag that thing along until the guy went to help him. The cross was a killing instrument. They killed people with the cross. It wasn't so we can look like Christians. No, they killed them with a cross. So as we're thinking about next year, don't forget we're relating this all the time to next year. Lord, we're going to pick up our cross. We're going to lay down convenience. We're going to move forward into everything you have for us. This is a saying that I've always had. to pick up your cross. This means that everything that cuts across God's will for our lives, we must lay it down. Pick up your cross. Everything that God has for us, we must lay it down. I'm sure people have taught you, you've heard this before. Dead men cannot fight for their lives. We can't fight for our lives because we're dead. Sorry, guys, if you're here for the first time and I'm preaching, please come back. God wants to restore our passion for Him. You know what? Obedience is a part of our passion for Him. Obedience is a part. Obedience is God's love language. I heard my son preach that once, but it's not the whole story. Passion is love and obedience. You know what? I'm sure you've all done this. I was at school. I did this. When people told me to do something, I did it. I was obedient. But I didn't love it. Did you love it when you went to the headmaster's office? In my day, you could still get a pak sla there. And that you'd walk in and you'd say, "Buk." You'd ask, you want the heavy one or the thin one? Guys, I went one beyond that. I was a beyond it type of person. I had to go to the police station for a caning. They lay you on the table like this. They put a wet rag on your bottom. And then you see that thing. Six of those. When I got home, I couldn't get my jeans off because I put them on. I had to get in the bath and, what can I say, like melt them off, soak them off. That was a hiding. And it wasn't for the right reason either. So passion is love and obedience. I needed that because and my dad took me there too. Come, let me take you. So we need to look for opportunities to love God. Love will keep us worshiping God. I think it was so wonderful having all these oaks up here this morning. We had more oaks up there than we had over here. So we can get more people to the front if we're going to do that. So I think we're going to do that every week. Hey, it's so cool having a choir. That's amazing. The sound and the voices and the... It was wonderful. It was wonderful. Number two, love one another. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you are also to love one another. Love your brothers. That word love, agape, is a verb. It's not a noun. It's something you do. I'm just going quickly because it is getting late. I don't want to take 45 minutes like my wife. I'll get into trouble with Mr. Muller. Psalm 133, verse 1, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." And then you skip right down to the bottom, it says, "For there the Lord has commanded His blessing." When there's When there's unity, God commands his blessing. It's not a, oh, maybe they will. No, I will command blessing on that place. Okay, then the third one, and Tim actually dealt with this today anyway, is in Matthew 28 and verse 18 to 20. Go make disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Do you guys know the story in the Old Testament where the Israelites had to go into the territory and take it? Do you know that they couldn't just go in there and take it? They had to fight for it. So we've been given an inheritance. Inheritance always starts with God first and then people afterwards. I want you guys to begin to think, this year coming, how am I going to be involved in this? How am I going to get into a better relationship with God? Well, there I can tell you straight away, it's in comms. You need to be together where you're accountable and where you people are holding you accountable, speaking to you, teaching you. And then we need to get out into outreaches and out there in our community as well as out. Sometimes it's easy out there, but not in here. I've said to Lindy, I really want to do one of those flesh mob things this year coming at Sonaker Shopping Center. I'm serious. Imagine it. Those that are going to dance and then all those that are not going to dance, they're just going to pop up. You know what? We got to forget the idea that we're going to walk around and give people pamphlets and put them in post boxes and that. We got to come up with stuff that we're going to see people come in. Hopefully we'll get Andrew in to start his 4x4 weekends again. Sounds like they had lots of people going there at one stage. They need to go there again. Guys, you know what? This year, we can't just hang in there. Oh, yo, we're hanging. You know what? If you're sitting here this morning and you've got a problem with your marriage, I'm not asking you to stand up, put your hand up, or do anything to embarrass you. I want you to get help. Because you can't afford to have problems in your marriage, because God wants to use you. And the first area of unity is husband and wife, where he commands his blessing. Please, guys, if you haven't got it going with your children and your parenting, come to us. We need to do something. We'll do a parenting course, or we'll do something to help you guys. We've got this stuff available. We've got the people that can do it. We can't just carry on limping along. We're in the process of doing a marriage enrichment course with a couple that are not even saved. But we took it on because we thought we'll take marriage enrichment and we'll get them saved. And so, boy, have we had some fun and games with this lot. But you know what? It's actually exciting. We look forward to when we make our time with them to go along there, speak to them. We've got to keep them on the... They want to shoot off there and shoot off there. Eh? Yeah, they want to talk about dinosaurs. Who knows that as soon as somebody wants to start talking about dinosaurs, the Lord is starting to convict them. Seriously, I'm telling you. And you must, if you haven't got an answer for them, I want you to find one this Christmas time. I've got mine. I'm not sharing with you. I have got mine. You know what? You need to do those things. You need to go to Oaks like Andrew and him. I forgot his name. What's his? Taryn. I'm getting like Andrew. He does it. Why can't I do it? You got to be a good cricketer. You just deflect. But really, guys, I'm not only talking about dinosaurs. Have you got an answer if somebody asks you about that stuff? I keep forgetting Terrence's name, but I know what dinosaurs are about. Because every kid, when you walk into the house, they got hundreds of dinosaurs that they're playing with. And if you touch their dinosaurs, you're in trouble. So you better have a way around the dinosaurs. Evolution is easy because I just say to him, listen, evolution makes a monkey out of you. So we're going to work around these three things. We're going to love God individually and together. Guys, I just want to put this out there for you guys. Patty and I don't pray together in our devotional. When there are things that need praying about in the life of the church and stuff like that, where there needs to be agreement, we pray together. If you pray together, that's lekker, but we can't do it. We've tried for over many years. So love God individually. This is my procedure. In the morning, I get up, I have a cup of coffee. I get my devotional out. I read my devotional. It's not a massive thing. It's a, who knows, Oswald Chambers. Find out who Oswald Chambers is. Probably the best devotional you'll ever read. Oswald, I try and read through it once a year. I didn't last year. I read my devotional, then I have my second cup of coffee, and then I go for a walk. Because you know what? If I don't go for that walk, I'm not going to pray. And as I'm walking, I'm praying. I'm praying over my family. I'm praying over the congregation. I'm praying over the bigger picture of Josh Chen. I'm doing that as I walk. I find it easy to pray while I'm walking. And I don't get disturbed. My phone stays at home. And my wife. And that's why I do many more steps than she does. Last week, 10,000 every day. So guys, praying individually and together. I'm going to put something to you guys in the new year about prayer together. I would like our prayer time to be a bit longer. I know when I first came here, prayer was much longer. It was like an hour before. Is that right? I think a half an hour would be okay. But we'll talk about that. I'm not putting it on you. And love one another. Are you loving one another? When you say, yes, I'm loving someone, you need to know what their problems are so you can be praying for them so that you can be walking with them. Do you know them? Love those that are not here. I don't like to say the lost and this and that because it doesn't appeal to people. I want to say we want to love those that are not here for now. We trust in God that He'll bring them in. Okay, should we pray? I'm leading the meeting next week, so I will get a chance to speak to you guys, but if you're not here, I trust that you have a wonderful time. Keep yourself sound. Keep yourself safe. And enjoy your time over this time of the year. This is, for me, this is about family. And so if you see somebody that's on their own, can I ask you to try and just bring them in? Bring them in. In Durbanville, we'd look for those that have got no family or anything, we'd bring them in. They don't always respond, but give the opportunity. So, Father, I thank you for this wonderful group of people that you've put with us for such a time as this. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. If you're sitting here now and you've never made a decision to serve Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you've never made that decision, or maybe you've